It was so exotic to me. I'd never been outside of the United States. It was a dream, you know, and he paid my ticket, you know. I said I didn't have the money for it, and so God bless him. I was just so happy. I couldn't believe this was happening, you know, and it was really wonderful.
God bless him, sier musiker Luke Elliott om journalisten Eirik Mosveen som fikk han til å komme til Norge. Før det hadde han aldri vært utenfor USA. Og det var en drøm å komme hit, sier han. For det var først når han kom hit til Norge at musikkarrieren tok skikkelig fart.
So music was a very, very big part of my upbringing. Every kid had to learn to play the piano in my house. It was an absolute must. You had to take at least 2 years of it. But they didn't let me stop after 2 years. They made me continue. They let everybody else in the family quit after two, but they didn't let me, which was good. I'm the type of person who I really self-destruct if I am not in some kind of routine, or I just collapse. And I think my parents saw that really early on for me. But otherwise, I'm a nightmare.
Luke Elliott har nylig gitt ut sitt tredje album, og nå I sommer åpnet han Norges yogafestival her på Nøsen med en konsert. Du hører på Yoga for livet, og jeg heter Birgitte Gjestvang. Luke Elliott, if I call you a rock star, are you comfortable with that?
It'd be great, but I'm not sure I'm a rock star. I mean, we're not headlining Madison Square Garden, but we're getting there. I mean, slowly but surely, I think.
You are a musician, and recently you came out with your third album.
Yes.
Let Them All Talk.
Yeah.
And when I read articles about you in Rolling Stone, and also in Norwegian Dagblad, Aftenposten, and they compare you with Nick Cave, Tom Waits, Leonard Cohen. So, how do you feel about that?
Well, for the first two records and the EP, when those comparisons started coming out, I was just like, well, you know, they should be able to say what I am without having to compare. And rather than pay too much attention to that anymore, it's just, you know, I'm flattered that they're, you know, not comparing me to Sting. So I'll take it. You know, I mean, those guys are obviously, you know, they're the best at their craft, and it's nice to be in the same boat.
You've been living in Norway for 8.5 years.
And roughly. Well, on and off.
On and off.
I mean, officially for like four. Before that, it was bouncing in and out a lot. I was all over the place. And I was very much back and forth between America and Norway.
And it was a journalist who was in New York, and he listened to you on a concert. And he really, really got impressed.
Yeah.
And he convinced you to come to Norway. But then you stayed?
Well, there wasn't much convincing. It was like, hey, there's a band over here that would like to play with you, and a bunch of journalists think you're great, and we'd like you to come over and you'll make a little money. I mean, I wasn't making $100 a show in New York or, you know, Philadelphia. I mean, I remember one night we made $500 and I thought I was going to faint. I was so happy. You know, I thought I was rich. So the idea of going anywhere was so exotic to me. I'd never been outside of the United States. It was a dream, you know, and he paid my ticket, you know. I said I didn't have the money for it, and so, you know, to me, $600 round trip was just impossible, and where would I stay? And, you know, he set me up with a whole tour, and, you know, God bless him. He and Tom Schecklesetter and Halden really, are responsible for this.
So you say Halden, you mean Halden.
Halden.
Yeah, a little place in Norway, Halden.
Halden, yeah.
So how was it to move from US to Halden?
Well, I wasn't living in Halden. I've never lived in Halden. I was living in Oslo. But it was, you know, to me, it was a wonderland. I mean, Athletic Sound is, in my opinion, one of the best European studios, one of the best studios I've ever been to. And it was magic at first. It was just magic. You know, I was like, it was a kid in a candy store. My father described it. He drove me and my former manager to JFK.
airport.
The airport. And he said that I was like, going to Disney World for the first time. I was just so happy. I couldn't believe this was happening, you know, and it was really wonderful.
So you have been living now in Norway and you have a little daughter here.
I do, yeah.
And you had a Norwegian wife. You are divorced.
Separated, but yeah.
Separated, sorry.
No.
And so you are really connected to Norway. And you have also been working as an actor here, as in the TV series Exit.
Well, I'm not sure I was acting in that. That was literally what you're watching is the actual performance. I was actually performing the song live. Yeah, and then we did, then I acted in Wisting with Carrie-Anne Moss and Sven Nordin and Helt Perfekt.
Helt Perfekt, yeah. With Thomas Gjertsen.
Yep.
And this scene in Exit is quite magic. It's more like a kind of art scene.
Well, it was Øystein...
Carlsen.
Yeah, the director had heard the record and, you know, I was... He had used one of my songs off the first album in that series, Dog. And so we're in touch, and I know that, you know, he's from Halden. And, you know, he heard the song, and, you know, he just called me and asked if I wanted to do this, and he turned into a music video. I mean, it became, it was a really awesome thing that he appreciated it that much and wanted to feature it in the show. So, but it was really cool.
So we are now at Nøsen. Nøsen Yoga and Fjell Hotel, and you started this yoga festival here with a concert.
Yeah.
I also know that you have been touring around in prisons in Norway with Alexander, with Back in the Ring, and doing concerts.
Yeah, we did that.
And in an interview, I read that you told that you had lost one of your brothers, your elder one.
Yeah.
I said he was a drug addict.
Well, he's a lot of things. But he was also a drug addict. Yeah.
Mm.
He was a lot of other things as well, but he was a drug addict. Yeah.
I'm asking you a little bit about this because on this place at Nøsen, it leaves people who have problems with drugs, as you know, and people who have been in prison. So is that something that also touches you about Nøsen? That why are you here? Exactly here.
Well, this place was introduced to me several years ago, and Alex and I think hit it off pretty quick. You know, we started talking, and it became, you know, he asked me to do this prison tour, and I was just going through the initial stages of a separation with my wife and was in a very, very bad place. I was staying on a friend's couch and was having a lot of trouble even getting out of bed. And Alex was, he said, just come do this thing. And so we did, and you know, it was just wonderful. I mean, these people really enjoyed the music, and I thought nobody would like it. You know, I thought, what are these people going to think of, you know, this guy coming in from New Jersey? But it was quite moving. And, it was something that those people, you know, that we did that for. I mean, you know, some of them are here now that I've been talking to, and I just find it strange that they even remembered it. You know, I thought it wouldn't do anything for them, but it really seemed to, in some way, whatever was happening, the energy touched them, and it was just a lovely thing to be a part of. Yeah.
Can't you tell the story that you told yesterday on the concert?
Yeah, those kids. I wish I knew their names, but I guess they were 22, and we just did a show in Oslo at Park Theater for the initial album release before we started the tour, and I was across the street from the venue, and these kids tried to sell me a cell phone. And, you know, whenever that happens, I just lie, you know, and I'm just like, oh, I don't live here, you know, so that people go away. But then the kid recognized me, one of the kids recognized me, and he said, you're Luke Elliott. And I said, yeah. Oh, are you coming to the concert? And he said, no, but you had played for me at the prison. And I was just very moved and, you know, gave him tickets, him and his friend tickets to the show. And he was, you know, he talked about it as if I had done something special for him. And for me, it was more special for me. I mean, it got me out of bed. It gave me some kind of reason to do something. You know, it kept me out of a bar that day, you know. I can relate to a lot of these, you know. I mean, I'm an alcoholic myself, and I've been struggling with addiction my entire life. That's not news, you know. At least in Scandinavia, it's not news. And, you know, some days are better than others, but it's been very good recently. And it's a constant struggle. But then the guy told me, he was like, oh, you know, it meant this and that. And I was just shocked, you know. I was just like, well, it did more for me than it did for him, I thought, you know. But I think that's the beauty of what this place is. I think it's about, and I think that's a very lost, I mean, people think you have to be in a really good state to help others. And I think that's just a bunch of bullshit. I think you don't get into a good state until you're thinking of somebody other than yourself. And that's been my experience, you know. And I think Nosen promotes that. I mean, you know, people who come here oftentimes are very ill. You know, not all of them. I'm not trying to make a generalization, but I'm saying there are people, you know, junkies coming here, sick and drunks and people coming out of prison. And I think, you know, one of the first things that Alex does is he puts a paintbrush in somebody's head and says, go paint the wall, you know, or like, go, you know, go drive down, go pick up some people from who want to come, or, you know,
for
go
fogging it, so
yeah. Yeah, or go in the kitchen and do dishes. I mean, I came here at one point and I was not well. I mean, I was really not well. And the first thing he did was, you know, he didn't let me sleep. He was just like, go, you know, wash dishes. And I washed dishes every day here. You know, it was wonderful, you know. And I think that's a lost thing. Or it's becoming a lost thing now, where everything has to be about feeling bad for the person who's suffering and letting them kind of dwell on their own bullshit. And I'm not sure that's very helpful. And I'm not an expert. I have no real right to say that. But I've never seen something work more than selflessness, than getting out of yourself. And I come to Nosen because I think that's an important thing for me to relearn. And as an artist, I'm so filled with ego and my own nonsense that I forget it.
So when I'm listening to your songs, they have a kind of, I would say, darkness in them, or at least they are melancholic, or it's hope in them also. But do you agree that it's a kind of darkness?
I mean, I don't think of them that way. I don't think of them that way. I think there's a lot of hope in those songs.
Yeah.
I think other people, I don't really know how to respond to that. I mean, I think it's always painful. I mean, it's not like and I know you people don't mean it as an insult. I'm aware of that. Most people don't. But I find them beautiful. I don't look at them as
so when, yeah. I say dark, it's not like I don't think they are beautiful.
Hopefully they evoke some kind of emotion, yeah. Emotional response. Yeah. They exist to be paid attention to, I think. I think my songs, hopefully, if I'm any good at my craft, they call for attention.
So this song, It Won't, we have to play one song, okay, from you. And the song, It Won't Hurt Soon. What could you tell a little bit about that song?
Yeah, I actually started that song here at Nosen, and was staying for a couple of weeks and was not doing so great. And I came up with the first verse pretty quickly. And then, as is often the case with me, I come up with the first verse and it takes me another 6 months to finish the song, which is really annoying. And mostly my fault because I procrastinate. But yeah, that song started here, and then I was in Halden recording it, and Dylan LeBlanc also featured on the track. And it just kind of happened, but it started here at this place.
Mm. What is your next plans, if you have one?
Touring until I can't stand up anymore. There's also some acting.
What do you mean about that? Is it kind of a joke until you can't stand up?
I mean just touring, getting this album out and everything, staying as busy as possible. There's new surprises coming with new releases in the next year. Recording, there'll be some other acting, writing things coming. So it should be busy. I mean, I would like to stay as busy as possible.
So, Luke Elliott, thank you so much for joining us in Yoga for Livet, eller Yoga for Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we will end this podcast today with your song, It Won't Hurt Soon.
Thank you very much.
And ooh, by the time I get to you, strung out on the last of what got me through, a winter's day in maple leaves, the wind off the lake and a cold breeze, and what gate shimmers in my mind's eye. Will a hand stretch across the sky? Some big promise to appease us, half-empty bottles and a porcelain Jesus. And oh, it won't hurt soon, but it sure hurts now. Hurt soon, but it sure hurts now. Who wants to stick around forever anyhow? My mind's on the run. I can't remember what I did before. Things came undone. It was a miracle at the start. Well, you believed in that stuff before you closed your heart. And oh, won't hurt soon, but it sure hurts now. It won't hurt soon, but it sure hurts now. Nothing lasts forever anyhow. It won't hurt soon, but it sure